All right. Welcome to Coffee with Markets and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Friday, November 3rd. Will stocks finish with the best week of the year? Jobs report comes in weaker than expected. What does this mean for stocks? Is the Fed done raising rates? No fear. The VIX is down 4 days straight, yields tumbling, and Apple disappoints on earnings. Plus, I did a tricky thing with my Goldman Sachs trades that I'll show you. I'll also show you what we have done this week with our open positions. So as you can see, there's a lot to talk about, and let's go ahead and get started. If this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading, and Marcus will be back with me on Monday, but today I'm running the show solo, and I promise that you're still in good hands. We know our stuff at Rockwell Trading. You could say we have a ton of trading experience, decades, in fact, and if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, then you are at the right place. Before we dive in and show you our trades and how we're tackling these crazy markets, let's take a look at what's moving the markets today. And let me go ahead and share my charts. Here we go. The S&P 500. Look at this. Look at this. One, two, three, four, going on a five-day winning streak after approaching 4,100 on last Friday. So rough October, rough September, but so far off to a fantastic start in November. Pardon me. And if we go to a weekly chart here, look at this. What a week. The S&P is up 5.7% as I speak. If we take a look at the Dow, it's a similar situation. The Dow coming right back after back-to-back losses, up 4.9%. The NASDAQ bouncing back as well. NASDAQ after back-to-back-to-back losses. We have a 6%+ gain for the NASDAQ. So a nice start to kick off November. Things are looking pretty good. And really, it's a combination of inflation expectations and the Fed. This week, it was all about the Fed, as we know. And right now, traders think we are done raising rates. So the next two-day policy meeting that wraps up with a statement and press conference is now 40 days, 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 40 seconds away. Traders are saying, you know what, 96% chance the Fed will not raise rates. Small chance they'll raise by a quarter of a percent. But right now, probabilities have even shifted to a cut happening sooner than expected. For a long time, it was June. Right now, traders are saying, you know what? We think that the Fed is likely to cut rates in May now. So just a few more months, peak inflation, maybe the highs here with the Fed's rate increases, possibly. But that's what traders are thinking, and a pretty decent probability that, at least with the data we have now, that the Fed will continue to cut, especially towards the second half of next year. So that's getting traders excited, but we also had some economic data today that support this idea. If we look at the jobs report, a biggie, first Friday of the month, we see that average hourly earnings came in lower than expected. So the forecast was 0.3%. Instead, there was an increase of 0.2%. And this is something that the Fed definitely keeps an eye on. The Fed wants softening job market to help with their fight against inflation and for the rate hikes that they've done to have more impact. And we see here that also the employment change numbers much lower than expected compared to last month, where there were 297,000 jobs added. Now we have 150,000 jobs, which was lower than the 178 expected. So this data helping out the Fed, and also just the prospect that they could be done raising rates and actually cutting rates sooner. Unemployment rate ticks up to 3.9% versus the 3.8%, which was expected, and also the reading from last month. So this weaker than expected jobs report, this typically in a normal market environment where inflation is not an issue would be considered bad news, you could say. But bad news is good news in this environment. We also had another report coming out at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, ISM services PMI, and we had a lower reading at 51.8. So some data here helping the rally, and let's go ahead and come back here and look at the E-mini S&P on a five-minute chart to see exactly what happened here this morning. And once this loads, there we go. Look at this. So yesterday, E-mini S&P just rallying higher, S&P 500 higher, of course. This the follow-through after the Fed statement, which took place here. And then we see sideways overnight trading and this spike here, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, an hour before U.S. markets open, was the reaction to that jobs report. So traders loving this nice little rally there near session highs here. And today, the S&P up 0.8%, the Dow up 0.5%, the NASDAQ up 1%. And again, at this point, it seems like we're going to wrap up the week with the best week of the year, unless there's a substantial change in reversal that kind of catches investors in the markets by surprise. Now, no fear in the market right now. Let's take a look at the VIX. The VIX only down 1.4% today, which isn't much considering the increase that we've seen. But look at this slide. 4 days straight, the VIX went from 21.3 to 15.4. Back to these lower ranges here. I need to run the numbers again, but historically the average is about 17 and a quarter, maybe 17 and a half. So this would be lower. That would be a 10-year average. So definitely lower than what is normal, getting back towards some of these lower levels that we had back in early September. So this volatility increase has been nice, but popping lower right now. Not only do we have the unemployment situation and jobs report helping the markets out, we also see that yields are tumbling. So the 10-year yield today down 2.9%. And here we have a third consecutive move lower. So we were flirting with that 5% level two weeks ago. Back in October, and investors were wondering, is 5% here to stay? Is this going to be the new norm? How does the market accommodate a 5% yield on the 10-year yield? Well, right now we're right back at 4.5% essentially, and three consecutive down days here. So overall, markets are doing well and liking this jobs report, also thinking that the Fed could potentially be done. We could also take a peek at crude oil here since we have it up. And crude oil, back in September, there was the concern that we were going to march right on up to $100 a barrel. And now we have more pressure on inflation with higher energy costs. At least for now, we pulled back and we're finding some support around $82 a barrel. Not a whole lot of movement here, down just under 1% today with crude oil. Now, Apple, a biggie, of course, and we could come over here and take a look at the earnings analysis tool, take a look at the calendar, and yesterday after the bell, Apple reported earnings. Apple, we see historically a beat on earnings and overnight reaction mixed, 7-day probability mix. In fact, maybe a little more downside pressure. On average, down 2% with the overnight probability down 4% after the 7th day. Let's take a look at Apple because this was the biggest company reporting earnings this week. And if we take a look here, there was another beat on earnings. Revenue was slightly higher, so that trend continues. Apple, though, down 1.3%. And there was some mixed information here. So It was their fourth consecutive quarter of declining revenue. So even though there was a beat on earnings and also beat on revenue, it was four consecutive quarters that Apple reported declining revenues, which has investors a little concerned. You know, is this showing some weakness in Apple, and is this something that will continue? They did show strong services business performance and a 3% growth in iPhone sales. Their CFO said that their forecast for Q1 total revenue should be similar to last year, and that iPhone revenue will likely grow year over year. But you know, traders not really liking that report overall, especially considering the overall market is positive and Apple is down 1.4%. Speaking of the overall market, let's go ahead and come over here to the heat map and take a look at the S&P 500, see where those gains are. And actually, gains are pretty decent across the board. So here, Apple sticking out like a sore thumb here, down 1.4%. But with the Magnificent Seven, you have Microsoft up over 0.5%, NVIDIA up 2%, Google up over 1%, Meta flat, Amazon flat, Tesla up just under 1%. So overall, a lot of green here. It looks like Eli Lilly down 1.7%, and a little weakness in oil and gas. Exxon down almost 2%, Chevron down almost 1.5%. So some red in oil and gas, and Apple taking a little bit of a hit here, but a lot of green overall. We could also look at the NASDAQ 100, and it's similar. There's a little red here and there, but for the most part, green. So really, it looks like we have a broad market rally going into the weekend, and that's a nice thing. So let's take a look at our open positions. Let me go over here to the Wheel Analyzer and look at my portfolio, and let's start with Canadian Solar. So Canadian Solar having a great day yesterday, up 8.4% today, follow through up just over 3% right now, was up a lot more, got up to 22.46, and has since pulled back a little bit. I have mixed feelings here. I like to see that there's some interest that's driving CSIQ higher, and maybe investors are now thinking, hey, with these valuations, with CSIQ is such a low PE ratio, that's much lower than what would be the average for the solar market or industry. You know, I like this, but I'd also really like to see some stability down here, not just a bunch of volatility back and forth, but some stability, maybe doing a rescue at 20. Rescue for me would be adding to this position to bring down my cost basis. When I was looking at numbers, it, you know, might be able to bring down the cost basis to around $30 a share. Right now, I'm assigned at 35. This one's the trickiest in my portfolio right now. I still think that long-term time is working in our favor, but I don't want to be in this trade for 2 years, right? I would love for this to just snap back. Being in it for 2 months would be okay. I don't see that happening, but by lowering the cost basis in a timely manner, especially if there's some stability and we're just not in a free fall here, this would allow me to potentially sell calls quicker if we start to rebound over time. Goldman Sachs, let's actually come back to that one, and instead let's move on to NextEra Energy. Nice couple of days here. NextEra Energy trading at 60.78, got as high as 61.5 today, and this is looking pretty good. Nice V-shaped recovery, at least so far, and liking this movement here. No longer in a rescue scenario for me, and I would like to see this continue, right? So closing the gap on this assignment and where we're at. Right now, not worried about any E, and liking this movement here. PNC, another one closing the gap after struggling and hanging out around 112, which was the lows back in May. We're seeing more follow through. Big day yesterday at 5.6%. and today up over 3%, trading at 123.55. Not too far away from my break even. My cost basis on this one is 136. So still down a little bit, can't sell calls. But I do like this movement and this range and how buyers stepped in at 112, and there's definitely been some interest here over the last couple of days. Just want to see this march right on up. This is one that I'm ready to move on from. I don't have concerns holding PNC, but I've been in this trade a lot longer than what I'd consider average for me, the average length and duration for the wheel strategy. We'd like to sell some calls and move on from this one. UPS, okay day. You know, it's interesting. Last couple of days have been positive. So after that overreaction to earnings, we've worked our way higher. But getting up to session highs and pulling back a little bit. Getting up to session highs, pulling back a little bit. Right now, UPS up over 1%, but was high, as high as 144.81, so almost 145. This is another one ready to get back up into this range, start selling calls again. Marcus is in a better position to sign at 157.50. So let's come back to Goldman Sachs, because Goldman Sachs has been a nice moneymaker for us for the last couple of weeks. This is one where I've traded multiple times, got in at 312.50, got in after earnings at 305, sold calls, really liking this trade. I like Goldman definitely in this 3-310 range. And yesterday we got as high as 314.54, and today there's even more follow through. So both Marcus and I, we had sold 305 calls at our cost basis, the price that we were assigned at. And Marcus still has those calls. Earlier on in the week, we were seeing, does it make sense to roll this, right? So for anybody new to rolling, the idea is if you've sold a call and you own shares, you have a covered call. And when you sell those calls, you have an obligation to sell shares at that strike price that you sell. Well, by rolling out, we can buy back those calls that we've sold and sell a further expiration, a future expiration. We're normally preferring to work week to week just so we have more control over the trade and we could bring in more premium that way over time, you know, with a combined effort. But here, when it starts to run, there was some decent premium there, but not enough for us to get excited about rolling, and instead we were looking at letting this one go so we could free up a position and look for new trades. Well, it's not always obvious to some traders, but when you have a covered call on and it starts to go in the money, you could actually close the entire covered call, so you don't have to leg out or buy back the short call and then sell shares. You could put in an order to sell your shares, buy back that call with one order with your broker. And this is where in the calculator here, I traded more than 100 shares, but we'll keep it at 100 just to simplify this. We see here that we have the 90% profit target. This would be based on, actually, let me do this, because this would have been for November 3rd. And Marcus and I got $1.55. So here, well, I'm not sure what Marcus got, but I got $1.55 at the beginning of the week. So this was essentially the trade I was in. And we have some data here on the calculator that really helps us make educated decisions, right? So one price here is the 90% profit target. This would be for the actual option. So one thing Marcus and I like to do is buy back this call, or even if we've sold a put, at 90% of the max profit potential. And when you sell an option, whatever premium you collect is the max you can make on the trade. So if I sell and collect $1.55 on this call, and I buy it back for 16 cents, I've locked in 90% of the profit potential. The reason why I like to do this is because at that point, there isn't much profit left in that position or trade. And if I buy it back and then there's another favorable move during the week, I could sell the call again and kind of double dip and get paid twice, right? So in this case, if the $1.55 is the most I can make on the call, and I could buy it back for 16 cents, it's just rounded up because you're not going to be able to close it for 15 and a half cents. Well, then I've made most of the profit. The same can be done with a covered call. And here we see the 90% max profit on the covered call. And we see here that this would be $304.84, right? So at $304.84, we own shares at $305. We've sold a call at $155. The max, the 90% max profit would be 16 cents. So if we deduct 16 cents from the cost basis or the price that we own shares at, that gives us 304.84. So we could put in a closing order here, close that covered call at 90% of the max profit potential. Because if we've sold that 305 call, we have an obligation to sell shares at 305. We're not able to make more money as the stock goes higher. That's one of the trade-offs when we're selling calls against shares that we own. Now, the benefit is income and consistency and higher probability trades, because most of the time you don't get this big, big rally, and instead the market goes sideways or back and forth, up and down, and that's where you sell calls and you do it frequently, and you're able to bring in more money than you would on just a market rally. So in this case, I actually put in an order at 304.85 yesterday, and it got filled. I gave up 15 cents, which, yes, if I held through today and let it expire, my shares would have been called away, and I would have made 15 cents more. But the reason why I did this is I already was at that almost max profit potential. There was only a 15 cents left, and with such a big move, I wanted the market to continue to rally. But with the jobs report, I didn't want a scenario where there's a jobs report that comes out that is super hot, and then the market pulls back and is reversing and giving back all of the gains that we had yesterday. And now there are a bunch of new opportunities for me to consider, but I can't consider them because I'm still in my Goldman Sachs trade, right? So I freed up the position, preparing for today. In this case, I missed out on 15 cents because the market rallied. But that was my belief going into today, that there could be some volatility. And if I miss out on 15 cents, no big deal. But by getting out of the trade, it frees up a position so I could put on a good trade if there were to be one today. And who knows? The markets are still open, but it does look like we're going to finish the week and the day strong. And it does look like traders are bullish going into the weekend. So I hope that helped. Maybe it gave you a new idea or reviewed something that you weren't familiar with. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. And if you're new to the channel, please subscribe. I'm going to be back here on Monday with Marcus. Until then, happy trading, everybody.